Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 312. This is Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening on a very, very hot July 20th, even here in Maine. All right, so we got the air conditioners on, the fans on, because we only have air conditioning in one room. Of course, we usually don't need it, but we got it on today. So wherever you are, I hope you're safe, you're happy, and that you're going to enjoy the show. We're going to be doing it with COSIN today, our good friends over at the Consortium for School on School Networking, with Susan Bearden, our old friend, who's their chief innovation officer, and also Dr. Beth Holland, who's their digital equity and rural project director over at COSIN. And she also works at the Learning Accelerator. We'll talk about that. But this show is going to be about artificial intelligence, okay, and a new resource, okay, from the spring, okay, about K-12 and artificial intelligence. So it's going to be really, really interesting as we get into this, which you will in just a second. A quick bit of homework. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out at Edu Talk Radio. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is both Larry Jacobs and Edu Talk Radio. You can friend us, follow, link with us over there. We invite you, of course, to join our equity, our consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, that place where educators and industry meet, over at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. Note that it's an acronym, ACE-ED.org, American Consortium for Equity in Education. Please join, okay? It includes a free subscription to our magazine, which is wonderful, right on site, which is ACE, Equity in Access. It's really a good magazine. Okay, we're starting to put together our back-to-school issue, which will be out the middle of next month, or the end of next month, so to speak. But we got a great new issue up there right now, the July issue, and it's really excellent, especially considering all the things going on with COVID. So please, ace-ed.org. It's yours. It's free. And thank you so much. Without further ado, let me bring on Susan and Beth, and the ladies first, but they're both ladies, so we'll go with Susan. No offense, Beth, okay?
Oh, no problem.
Thanks, pal.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Susan. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Are you in Florida? You're in Florida, right?
Right now, I'm actually in Connecticut.
Good for you. But don't I usually talk to you in Florida?
You've talked to me in a lot of different places.
Okay.
Washington, D.C. and Florida being two of them. But, yes, currently we're in Connecticut and enjoying the much cooler weather, I must say, compared to D.C.
And a little less.
D.C. or Florida.
I hope everybody's all right in Florida, but the COVID is a little bit less up in New England than it is down in Florida. So I'm glad you're safe. Where are you, Beth Holland?
I'm in Newport, Rhode Island.
Another New Englander joining the club. I'm in Maine.
Yeah.
Do you own one of those big mansions? Is that what you own?
Oh, absolutely. You know, huge. Yeah.
Right, big yacht.
I can walk to them. Oh, absolutely. No, I do like to play with tourists sometimes when they'll stop and go, "Do you know where the Breakers is?" And you go, "Yeah, it's right next to my house." But
there
no.
you go. You can't miss it.
I am walking distance. Can't miss it.
That's cool.
Right,
Newport's just great. Thanks for being here with us today, Beth. I do appreciate it. I'm very interested. I hope you're interested in what we're doing. We're very interested in rural education as part of our Consortium for Equity. Please go over there to ace-ed.org and see what we're doing, Beth.
Absolutely. I think I have.
Please do. Okay. I hope you do. Okay, let's do a science fiction thing. Artificial intelligence. Is this Earthbound, Susan?
Yes.
Did you like that?
I did.
Do it again. Artificial intelligence. So does this mean that some being from another planet is going to be telling us what to do? Is that correct? That's what you're dealing with, right?
Not quite. I think Beth could articulate it more clearly.
Okay. It's not some kind of brain implant that comes in through your ear through a small microscopic robot that Keith Kruger, my friend, has invented. This is something completely different you're talking about, right? Where he can control you.
This is something completely different.
Okay. All right. Just curious. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. Trying to keep the audience safe at all times. Okay. Cosin. Keith is the executive director, by the way. I hope you're laughing, Keith. Okay. Unless he really is inventing that. Who knows? Okay. The new report, kind of new, okay, on artificial intelligence, AI. Tell me what's going on. And by the way, I'll throw these to Susan. Susan, feel free to include Beth. I don't know where each of your individual expertise lies. So I'll go with you there. Okay. Go ahead. Susan, the new report.
Well, absolutely. Well, I'll just say a few words, and then I'm going to pass it over to Beth because she actually wrote the report, so she knows more about it than anybody. But basically, our report on artificial intelligence in education talks about the role of artificial intelligence in education, the implications for educators, and with regard to, I know, very creative, with regard to a variety of topics, including privacy, kind of what the future might hold. Beth, do you want to explain a little bit more?
Sure. And Dr. Holland, Beth, I apologize for that. You are the actual expert on the artificial intelligence. You're the expert, okay? And you can pass it over to Susan if you need more help. Okay, Beth Holland, everybody. Go, Beth. What's going on out there with AI?
Yeah, so AI is really fascinating when you think about it in education because it's been around for so long, but people think it's a new thing. And, you know, in working on this report, the way it really started is, you know, Susan and Keith said, you know, everyone's starting to talk about AI. We want to provide essentially some kind of like a guide that would help school and district leaders be able to start really thinking critically about the notion of AI. And so this is really this first report that's out was really designed as a way to be a conversation starter. So what are all the different things that a school or district leader needs to consider as this idea of AI starts coming more and more into education? But as I said, it's a fascinating topic because it's not new. You know, it was back in the 1950s when this idea of how could we get computers to start, you know, thinking and processing and behaving like humans actually
Well, at the beginning, we used to call them thinking machines. Remember? That was the old line. A computer is a thinking machine.
Yeah. Right. So it came to that idea in the, you know, I know there's, you know, you've done a great job giving us these sort of science fiction sound effects. You know, there's that, you know, the movie version of AI where.
Thank you.
Like those. You know, the movie version of AI is that it becomes this real, like, generalized intelligence and it becomes superhuman and it takes over the world. And certainly that might be something to keep an eye on, but right now, today in 2020, that doesn't really exist. And instead what we have is this really specific kind of intelligence that's really good at certain things. But what's amazing, I was reading about this idea, they called it the odd paradox, where AI is so ubiquitous that you stop thinking about it like AI. So in the beginning, you know, the idea of something like a calculator was considered AI. And now it's like the widget on your phone.
Right.
We did a fun activity. We actually had a convening back in January where we got together. Keith called it like the acronym soup of Washington, D.C. So the heads of all the associations in one room at Microsoft for a day. And, you know, COSIN and ISTE and AASA and AEP and like just keep spewing letters and that's who was in the room. but we did an activity where we said, okay, everybody, from the minute you left your house until the minute you got here to the Microsoft headquarters, how many interactions did you have with AI? And it's amazing how many things that you don't think about. Like, did you ask your phone to give you directions? Did you use a ride-sharing service? Did you check some form of social media that has some sort of intelligence behind it that feeds up different things into your newsfeed? Like, it's amazing how it's everywhere, and yet there are also those very specific applications that are now being marketed and coming into education in things like tutoring systems and adaptive platforms and security systems. And so there are places where it's coming in, and it's a really messy topic. So this report was about how do we, as, you know, school and district and state leaders even, start to think about the implications of AI mm-hmm. as it's having playing more and more of a role.
So what are we thinking? Are we thinking about the ability to have enough bandwidth? Are we thinking about the security needs that come with AI? Where should people begin to think about this as it really does begin to find a place or has really gets to be settled into education? I should say it that way.
I kind of want to just say yes.
Okay.
So yes, we should.
Yes.
There are certain.
Beth,
yes.
Beth, will you marry me? Wait a minute. Beth, will you marry me?
Sorry, someone else already took that 14 years ago.
She said she wanted to say yes. She said she wanted to say yes. Okay, good. Anyway.
I did.
Yeah.
So the digital equity piece is, and as COSIN's digital equity person, that is absolutely a challenge where it is a bandwidth issue. It right now, just about every application requires an internet connection. So there's an assumption of ubiquitous internet to even be able to interact with the AI. Another, there is the security issues because the way AI works is it's got an algorithm that's run on a data set. And the bigger the data, the better the results start to get as this algorithm learns. But that raises who owns the data? Where is the data being housed?
Ooh.
Who controls that
right.
data? There's those pieces. Who wrote the algorithm? You know, what's the potential bias in the algorithm? Because there's been some amazing, there's a lot that comes into that, especially with some companies like, you know, Google has an AI called BERT. As a Muppet fan, I'm very sad that lots of companies name their AI after Muppets. So this one was BERT. And apparently...
Okay.
Can't identify a woman if that woman is not in a stereotypical gender role. Because of the way that the data set, so there's bias in the data set or potential for bias. So are the engineers thinking about that? From an education perspective, I've been concerned if we have engineers designing AI to interact with students, do those engineers understand how students learn? Or is the AI potentially perpetuating not best practices? Cultural bias is another big piece. As we have more of a, you know, a multicultural citizenship, is the data set coming from one perspective? A great example I heard when I was researching for this is, Larry, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We'll do a word scramble.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you some letters, and you have to tell me what word it is. Ready? S-C-A-O-T. What is that? What's a word that you can get from
Say them again. Say them again. Was it S-S-P-A-O-T?
S-C as in Charlie. S-C-A-O-T. What is it?
Coats.
You said coats. We're in New England. That's perfectly logical. But when they gave that question to a group of students in California, they all came up with tacos. Are they wrong?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, again,
Wow.
So,
and you could also, Beth, you could also come up with Ascot.
I feel like Donald Trump.
There you go.
I feel like Donald Trump felt when he passed the cognitive test last week. Okay, Coates was okay. That was a good answer. Okay, you know, tacos.
Yeah,
I love that.
A great answer.
Right. Wow.
And that was great. So, as school leaders, there are so many questions to be asking, and not just blindly accepting that things are coming in. And sort of circling back around to the digital equity piece, you know, there's also a challenge within education that we've seen with digital equity in particular, with the idea of the digital use divide, where students in more affluent communities tend to use technology for more creative you know, cognitively demanding ways, right? Versus students in, you know, particularly in Title I schools who might get it more for like drill and practice, remediation and test prep. The question of AI, are we teaching students how to analyze it, how to argue it, how to code it, how to design it, Or are we asking students to blindly accept the answers that it might be feeding them in some sort of a low cognitive, you know,
wow,
content delivery platform?
Wow. That's actually pretty heavy duty. That's pretty heavy duty, that question.
And so I think it's a big question. And so what we, you know, what COSEN had asked and what we're hoping to be able to achieve with this report is that we do encourage, you know, districts and school leaders and, you know, school committees and teachers to come together and say, we really need to ask some good questions about what we're doing to make sure that we're providing the best possible educational experiences for our students, understanding both the potential of AI to do some really fascinating things and to offer great learning analytics and, you know, to provide great data and to help improve school security. And there are all of these positives, but they need to be looked at very, very carefully before just jumping in.
That's very true. And that's really cool. And as I said, it's a heavy, heavy question. But another side of that question is the technology industry, particularly in education in this case. Okay. Are they aware of all these possible dangers and controversies or challenges or whatever you want to call it? How's the industry looking at this?
I don't know. I mean, I've looked at.
Oh, they need to. I guess they need to. That alone says it right there. They need to look at this. They need to create the right thing. Okay, because we are dependent on them, and I agree with you. A school district using this kind of AI and their stuff needs to be well aware of everything you just said. Okay, but it's also the responsibility of the industry, which is your membership. A good part of your membership is the ed tech industry, great folks. Okay, and they have to be well aware of this too, because they have to create the products. Okay, according to the needs of the school district. If they don't take this into consideration, the things you just said, okay, Beth, it's going to create challenges along the way. Okay, so it's really a double-edged sword, but it's a good sword. Swords can be used for good things, not all bad things. Right?
And absolutely. I mean, I think there are certainly some, you know, some groups that are doing, you know, more than others. I've been really impressed with two platforms that have come out of two different universities. And I think it's always really nice when you can see things that are coming out of kind of that university background. But it's Carnegie's Learning or Carnegie's Mathia program. So Carnegie Learning came from Carnegie Mellon University. And it's a really interesting, they call it a cognitive tutor that they use for algebraic thinking and for geometry. Mm-hmm. And then Worcester Polytech has a program called Assistment that, again, helps with, you know, helping students to develop mathematical competencies. And, you know, you can see on that level where, you know, there has been a lot of thought that's put into it. I think, again, school leaders need to ask really good questions. You know, are
they really
tech companies being transparent about how the data sets were formed, where they're stored, what they're doing with them, how the algorithms were written, what was it based off of? And if the tech companies can't answer those questions, I think that's a red flag for a district leader.
It sure is. And, it struck me as interesting. And there's a lot of talk, and I'm just going to – I don't know if I'm going down the right track here. If I'm wrong, just tell me. But, you know, they're looking for all the educational products to be culturally relevant, culturally competent, okay? And you just said that this can't tell – one of them can't tell the gender, so to speak, if you move out of traditional roles, okay? That's dangerous, okay? And it's dangerous – then you can take it, extrapolate that, and go racially, whatever the case may be. Okay, and these companies, which are scientifically based, have to be very aware, okay, of what's going on, and it's up to the school districts to hold their feet to the fire, okay, to make sure that the right product is coming down the pike, so we don't hurt any, you know, do no harm. That's the first thing. I got to tell you, what's the result, Beth or Susan? What's the result that you were looking for, okay, out of doing the resource? Were you just looking to list a whole bunch of questions, or did you have the answers too? Whichever one of you wishes to answer, Beth, you can start. And
well,
Beth, if that's too difficult a question, you pass it to Susan immediately. Okay.
That's right. No, I'm not passing immediately. I'm going to pass in a moment. But the way Keith framed this to me and the way we discussed it when we had the big meeting in January is this is just version 1.0. And so the idea was to use this to begin to have the conversation, and not just within the technology space, but to bring in the stakeholders from all of the other associations to make sure that we're expanding this conversation, because it does need to stretch outside of just technology. And so, you know, this was version 1.0 where, you know, it's been sent out to, you know, the other associations, it's been made very public. And I think as we get more input coming back in based off of this report, there will need to be, you know, future versions. But this was what we saw as filling an immediate need for, you know, district technology leaders to help start the conversation. You know, and I think it's also a part of the COSIN ecosystem of reports, because what was for me kind of stretching my brain in lots of directions is I wrote this report, and at the same time I was working on a COSIN EdTech Next report specific to learning analytics and big data, which was just one piece of AI. So I had that, I was working on that piece as well. So, you know, within our ecosystem, we have lots of different ways of coming at this particular problem and then seeing how it starts. And now, Susan, I'm turning this over to you because I'm not sure where we're going with this next.
Not yet. Beth, you're Dr. Beth Holland. What's your degree in? I'm curious about that. Is it computer? Is it education? Where are you? You're a pretty smart lady.
Thanks. I have a
You're welcome.
My master's was in technology innovation and education, but my doctorate was actually in entrepreneurial leadership and education. So I looked at leadership, education, and policy.
Wow, that's a very interesting mix, and it makes sense in terms of what you're doing here. I got to tell you, Susan, we just turned this over to you, right? Susan?
I guess so. So, you know, I think, you know, you asked if we had answers for any of these questions. And I think
do we?
The short answer is no. I think
okay.
I think it's more of, you know, because the field is still developing, I think it's a question of knowing what questions to ask.
Exactly.
And to be aware of what the potential problems are, because there is no one right answer. There is no there's no perfect answer for any particular context, but I think it's important that people be aware of knowing what questions to ask. And I think one of the good things about this report is making people aware. A lot of times you don't know what you don't know. So I think what this report does is it really helps people start thinking about what they don't know and encourages them to start thinking more deeply and start asking these questions to make sure that artificial intelligence and education is used ethically and appropriately.
Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of knowing what you don't know, read a book, a great book called, you'll love this, by a professor at Columbia, Stuart Feuerstein. It's called Ignorance. Read that book. It's a short book. It's fun to read. And the whole idea of it, and he teaches a course in this in Columbia, is things only move forward if you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay, your ignorance moves you forward. Okay, you constantly have to ask the questions. It's Stu Feuerstein, and the book is simply called Ignorance. He's, as I say, a Columbia University professor. It's a good book. You'll really, really, really enjoy it. Okay, I got to tell you,
all right,
it's amazing. I want to ask you know with the AI. And people talk about that, and they bounce the term around a lot. And now we've got COVID, all right? And I don't know if this even makes sense. Can you put COVID and AI together as we start moving into the next school year, amazingly enough? Susan, I'll ask you, and you can pass it to Beth. Susan?
Yes, I'm
COVID?
Listening. I mean, you ask such easy questions, Larry.
Really?
absolutely.
Not.
Really?
I'm just thinking off the top of my head.
What is the you have 30 seconds. What is the essence of mankind? Thank you. Go ahead. You're on.
There you go. What's the essence of AI and COVID? You know, there's been a lot of talk about how can AI be used to, for example, there's been a lot of talk about how AI can be used to potentially predict COVID outbreaks and how it can be used to track COVID outbreaks. And so there's been a lot of course, just debate in the private sector about the use of, like, for instance, apps to try and help with contact tracing or to help track symptoms or to try to evaluate people's travel based on, you know, their location data from their iPhone, and how does that correlate to increased outbreaks with COVID. So there's been a lot of conversation about the use of AI and the potential privacy risks of AI kind of with regard to COVID. And again, it's one of those kind of risk evaluation balancing acts, just like we have to evaluate in education, is the potential privacy risks of the technology worth the benefits of the technology being used. And now I'll pass this easy question over to Beth for further explanation.
Dr. Holland.
Well, you took my first one. There's certainly that.
Okay.
I actually read a couple. And there's in the medical space, which, you know, I know like a whole article's worth that I skimmed. There's how to use, you know, AI can support like the medical process, you know, coming up with vaccines, and, you know, it's certainly something that's being harnessed, but bringing back to education, you know, one of the things right now where we're seeing AI in classrooms is through kind of like the machine learning aspects of things like the adaptive platforms and the intelligent tutoring systems. And given the move to remote learning or to hybrid learning, these platforms are really good at like the low cognitive learning, you know, those basic facts, the basic content acquisition, helping students to work through the beginnings of things. And so one question might be, how might schools and districts take advantage of these platforms in a remote setting or a hybrid setting so that face-to-face and synchronous time can be used for more like cognitively demanding work. So more in-depth discussion and Socratic seminars and project-based learning. And, you know, could the AI be good at that basic content dissemination and some remediation and practice, and then allow the teachers to focus more on how do I create these really meaningful learning opportunities? You know, again, always looking at both sides, the concern is always, could the AI be, these platforms be seen as the education? And I think it would be very important to remember that they're an excellent baseline or foundation, but not something that would take over the whole experience. And actually, Charles Fidel, who's at the Center for Curriculum Redesign, talks about this a lot in his book. And, you know, I spoke, he was a sort of an unofficial advisor on this report, but, you know, we really talked about how the power of AI might be and how it augments a teacher so that the teacher can really focus on creating these more meaningful learning experiences that really push students and let them engage in different things instead of just, you know, the content acquisition and the basic fact finding.
Yeah, I have a question. It brought up something, and again, it's a difficult question, not an easy one. Is anybody looking at the applications of AI in K-12 education for assessment? If you just talk about assessment, and the reason I'm bringing that up is we all call this remote learning, all right? But in the last 4 months, and this is not derogatory to anybody, everybody tried. I'm not so sure who's learning what, if anybody's really learning anything. I kind of prefer to call it remote education, okay? Because learning implies you learn something. Okay, we don't have a way to assess that yet, okay, in my opinion. I may be wrong, but the technology, the AI is out there, okay? And I'm just kind of curious from my own point of view. Dr. Beth, what do you think?
No, it's been used for – okay, so I took the GRE in one of the computer-based settings in 2001, and there was AI then, or 2000. So – the AI and assessment, again, has been around for a really long time. Like the GRE, when I took it, well, let me think about this. No, it was December of 2000. That computer-based one, if you got the question right, the next one was harder. you got the question wrong, the next one was easier. It was a very basic decision tree.
There you go.
But that was AI. I'm spacing on names right now, so I'm really apologizing to this really brilliant person who is at ETS, Education Testing Services, who's been looking at how can they rethink the idea of assessment given AI. There's been a lot of controversy around the computer graded essays. I mean, that's been going on for at least 5 or 6 years, where, you know, the computers are grading the written portion of the GRE or the written portion of different types of assessments. You know, there's questions as to how good of a job it does at this point, but it is something that's available.
You say something interesting. You know, it's been around for such a long time, and you were talking about 2001. We're 2020 now, okay? And like the Watson computer, that thing that won on Jeopardy that night, okay? We've come so far, all right? And now we're in a position where teachers, by the way, it's hard for them to be objective about this, okay, because they're not trained to do this in the manner in which we're teaching kids now. And AI, computers may really, really help us, okay, to form some kind of opinion. It's really an interesting time for all of this stuff, okay? Yeah. It really and truly is, okay?
Hey, Larry, yes, you were gonna say something. I have an example of a rather controversial use of AI specifically with the International Baccalaureate Program.
COVID-19. Cool.
Because what happened, for those who may not be familiar with what happened, was the IB program decided they did not offer the exams this year because of COVID-19. So what they did instead was they used artificial intelligence to calculate their grades based on a data set that included their grades on assignments and grades from past graduates at their school to predict what they would have scored during the pandemic if they had taken an in-person test. But what there was a big controversy about it because there were many students who received suspiciously low scores, and in some cases they even had college acceptances revoked because the artificial intelligence calculated that their test grade was lower. And so it was a big controversy. And, you know, what kind of bias might have been built into that AI? And that's an example of AI having very real-world consequences on students' lives happening right now as a result of COVID-19.
You know, and that's so interesting. Again, it goes, it's obvious, it goes right back to the beginning of what we're talking about, a built-in bias that probably was not built in purposely. I certainly hope not. Okay? But it's there. All right? Wow. Thank you for that. That's scary stuff. So, in other words, K-12 educators, and college folks too, they need to understand the questions they ask as we move to this brave new world. It's kind of like the end of Terminator 3 when Skynet takes over. Bad artificial intelligence. We got to make sure it's good stuff, right?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking. You did see Terminator, right? You saw Terminator 3?
No.
Susan?
Many times. I've seen it many times. Beth, have you ever seen Terminator?
I saw
parts of the first one.
This is a challenge. It's on Showtime, I think, on HBO now, and you got to watch Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Terminator.
Okay, okay?
I'll see if my husband's seen it.
Believe me, your husband has seen it. Trust me on this, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, okay? Which is really a good movie, by the way, too. All right? I'm telling you. Okay, this is not going to happen in K-12. Okay, because you got to read Beth's new report.
Okay,
from Cosin, right? If the script writers of Terminator 3 had read this Cosin report, none of that would have happened. Would have been a much happier ending.
Okay, good to know. Susan, do you agree?
Okay, just so you know, Beth, I'm serious, Beth. I'm serious. Okay, so Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines. Beth, that's a promise, and everybody's looking for movies to watch. Okay, so you got to promise me you'll watch.
I know. I have to admit, we watched The Money Pit with Tom Hanks.
I love that movie, and Shelley
Wong.
Great movie.
Yeah.
The money pit. The money pit. Great, great, great. But, you got to promise me. Yeah. The AI gone wild. Okay. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. Claire Danes is in that movie. This is a damn good movie. Okay. Trust me on this. Okay.
Okay.
Beth?
I will trust you, Larry.
Beth, there's you got nothing
I'll
else to do. There's a pandemic raging.
I know.
You're going to watch this movie. Okay. That's all the, that's
I
all I have to say.
Fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's good. You both are wonderful. Thank you for being good sports and getting all this information out there. Hey, Susan, can people just go to, what did they do? Go to COSIN.org and just search AI or something? How do they get to that?
Yes. Let me pull up. I can tell you the exact page that it's on. It's
perfect.
Hold on. It is on, I believe it's on our send page. Hold on. I'm pulling it up right now.
It is.
It is. So actually, it's on our Smart Education Networks by Design page. So actually, if you go to COSIN.org, can search for SEND, SEND, and that takes you to the page where the artificial intelligence report is posted. Am I correct, Beth? Yes, there it is right here. Artificial intelligence in K-12 education.
And this is key stuff because we're moving towards this, and we better look for questions to ask because if we don't ask the right questions, we're gonna hurt people. And this is great stuff. This is going to make a difference. So, Beth, thank you for all your hard work for putting this report together. Thank you.
Thanks for having us on this conversation. This has been fun.
It is fun, and so is Rise of the Machines, Terminator 3. Trust me. That's another way to look at this whole thing. Okay, so we're going to be signing up. Beth, Susan, thanks a million. You stay safe in Connecticut. Okay, Beth, you stay safe in magnificent Rhode Island. I'll stay safe in Maine. Okay,
well.
All of us have a good New England summer and enjoy the hot day today. Right? Right. Okay, thank you, ladies.
Great.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. That was COSIN, everybody, Consortium of School Network and COSIN.org. This is their report on artificial intelligence, and all kidding aside, okay, we got to figure this out for K-12. We all want to use it. It's good stuff, but we got to know how to use it, okay, in the industry, and hold the industry's face to the feet to the fire, okay? The industry has to be sure that they build unbiased, workable, secure systems. You don't be embarrassed to ask those questions. Okay. And the questions will pop up if you read the COSIN report on artificial intelligence. All right. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We will tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. And on Facebook, it's EduTalkRadio and Larry Jacobs. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs. And please join our equity consortium where the industry and educators meet and make things equitable and make things accessible. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Check out ACES.org.